We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rob Doster here. I got Jeff Goodman with me.
Hell no.
John Tate.
Are we still live?
Till the 68 till I die.
I'm sorry, man. I blacked out.
Randolph Children.
DJ Khaled. You know the big DJ Khaled guy?
Hands brought up and in.
Goodman needs to be fired all the time.
Josh Pastner.
You're going to beat people straight up.
You know the deal.
They have no swag. They have no nothing.
Terrell McNeil.
From the bluest of the blue bloods to the smallest of the mid-majors.
This is Field of 68. After dark.
Welcome in to another episode of Field of 68 After Dark. This is the March 12th, 2024 edition. Conference tournaments, some have concluded, some getting underway, and some programs already making coaching changes. So that is the time of year we are in, fellas. We're going to get to all of it. Joined tonight, longtime coach, veteran of the game, Matt McCall, as well as North Carolina product of a blue blood legend, Tyler Hansbrough. So look, we got lots of games to get to. Tickets have been punched. Some teams are already put out. So we'll get to those in just a little bit. But let's start with the news of the day, which comes courtesy of Jeff Goodman. This one was, I don't know about you guys. I'll remember where I was forever when this one dropped. Louisville is expected to part ways with Kenny Payne after two seasons, according to Jeff Goodman. It's likely to be official in the next 24 to 48 hours. Payne won 12 total games in two seasons. Matt, it's kind of funny that the way this has come full circle, because I believe we were on the air the night that Louisville lost an exhibition game. And we knew then before this season started, you and I were on the same show. We knew then that it was Kenny Payne was probably not long for this world as a Louisville coach, but now it's official. When you just assess the situation there, what are your thoughts on why Kenny was never really able to get it going?
Yeah, John, you know, you bring up monumental places where we were. 4 years ago, I was in the Barclays Center getting taken off the floor. And today, I was in the Barclays Center press room covering the Atlantic 10 tournament, and it was – talk about coming full circle. So 4 years ago that, so I'll never forget that. But you know what, for Kenny Payne, and there's still information that has to come out, and we haven't heard any statement from the athletic department or the athletic director or anything like that, but it was his first head job. And I'd love to get Tyler Hansbrough's take on this too, because you know, you look at some of these programs around the country that are hiring guys that have never been head coaches. And then, you know, the University of North Carolina is one of them. Tyler's alma mater with Hubert Davis. Duke with John Shire. Villanova with Kyle Neptune. I mean, these blue blood programs hiring guys that have never called a play on their own, that have always been assistants and great assistant coaches. There's an expectation at these places, not just to get to an NCAA tournament, not just to compete for a conference championship, but to win national championships. And that's the standard at Louisville. It's to win a national championship. So I think if you called Coach John Calipari right now, he would tell you that Kenny Payne is one of his best assistant coaches of all time. I think, you know, the job that he did when he was at Kentucky with them, recruiting and investing in players and the relationship with players, but taking over a program like Louisville is a different step, and it's a different step to take. And there's a different level of expectation that comes to that when you slide over from being an assistant coach to becoming a head coach. And when you're at a blue blood program, when you're at a program that expects national championships and you've never been a head coach, it's hard. And that's why you see some of these young guys. And I always defend the coaches, and I've defended John Shire, I've defended Hubert Davis, Kyle Nepton too. You got to give some of these guys time to grow, to develop, but we're not in a time where that happens. It is, and especially at these places where they expect national championships.
Yeah,
yeah, Tyler, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what McCall said right there. But the one difference I will say, and you look at Shire, you look at Hubert Davis right now, which Coach Davis has done an unbelievable job this year, ACC Coach of the Year, really did a 180 and has impressed a lot of people. But you also see at those two blue blood programs, those coaches are tired. And still you see Coach K and Coach Williams kind of hanging around. And I'm not saying, like, you know, they just kind of left and kind of went on their own. But at Louisville, you didn't really have that, you know, Pitino didn't really retire. And he wasn't really, you know, it wasn't the smoothest of transitions. And there's a lot of pressure, especially at those programs, especially if you played there. Kenny Payne had a great impact on Louisville, so he probably put a lot of pressure on himself. And also the program went south and south fast, and he received a lot of public criticism. And it's hard to kind of recover from that. And there's a lot of coaches that are great assistant coaches that it's just a different thing when they become head coaches. And there's nothing wrong with that. And to just go straight to Louisville as a head coaching job, that's tough to do. I do hope that he gets another chance somewhere, and somewhere where there's not as much spotlight, where he can really kind of do his thing without a lot of public criticism to really see what he wants as a coach. But, yeah, this isn't really groundbreaking to me either.
Yeah, Tyler, I do want to ask you a follow-up here about just the job itself. Obviously, it's sort of a new, you know, they joined the ACC 10 years ago, and in some ways that's fantastic. And in other ways, I think it makes life a little bit harder, just in terms of who you're having to, you know, go up against night to night. What should the expectations, you think, as somebody that's an ACC product, what should the expectations of the Louisville basketball coach be in 2024?
They should be – Louisville should go and hit the portal. And they should bring in a coach that's going to make a big splash, because Louisville is a tradition and it's a great winning program. They have tradition there, and they need to get back to that. There's no reason why a coach can't immediately come in and turn the program around quicker than usual. And so I would look for Louisville to try to get a big name and make a big splash immediately.
Matt, what do you think? It's been a little – results have varied, and that obviously – That's coaching hires, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. But where are you on just what the annual expectations for Louisville should be in this day and age?
I mean, I think the annual expectations is to get to the NCAA tournament. But that needs to be every year. Whoever they bring in, that's going to be the standard. That's what they're going to expect. If you're going to, you know, fire Kenny Payne and move him on and pay him a lot of money for him to – go on to whatever next for him, the next guy that comes in there, the expectation's going to be to be in the NCAA tournament next year. And whoever that is, I think it's got to be someone that has a track record of winning. They have a track record of winning in college, knowing how to build a program, bring in the right guys. It's not just about bringing in talent. It's not just being, you know, recruiting talent. You got to bring in the right guys. And with in the day and age of the transfer portal, when you can go in the portal and you could just take talent and recruit all this talent, if you take someone in the transfer portal that's not the right fit in your locker room or that's bad for your culture, you have no shot. You have no chance. So bringing in someone that is going to be able to recruit, recruit the state of Kentucky, which there's great players in the state of Kentucky. We see one that's a freshman right now at Kentucky that's the best freshman in the SEC. Being able to evaluate that and evaluate and take the right transfers and put the right staff around you. And I think the expectations are to be in the NCAA tournament next year. I mean, they're not moving on Kenny Payne to bring someone in that they don't feel like can get to the tournament next year.
Last one on this, Tyler, I'll go to you. You know, Kenny Payne spent 4 years at Louisville. I mean, he's a beloved figure there for his playing days. And yet, you gotta go to him and you got to fire him. It was undeniable. I mean, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it with the results, as we talked about. But you still got to look a Louisville lifer in the face and say, you're done here after 2 years. Is that like for you? And I know, you know, at Carolina, you know, in Duke, I mean, it's just part of the thing, but it also shows the risk, right? When you bring in, you know, somebody that's been such a big part of the program, if it doesn't work.
It is. And I can't imagine it's going to be an easy talk forever has to make or tell Kenny Payne that. But also, Louisville basketball and their program is bigger than any one person. If it is not going in the direction that they feel is best for the program, they have to make that decision. And sometimes it's tough, and there'll be a lot of emotions involved. But you have to do what's best for your program in order for it to keep that tradition.
Yep. There's no question. John, last thing
for me. I coached the Florida Gator TBT team this summer, and our region was in Louisville. And Louisville played in there. Peyton Siva, Russ Smith, those guys. And it was the TBT. And it was packed. I could not believe how many Louisville fans were there to watch the TBT, which is a great event. It's awesome. It's excitement at the end of July, and it's unbelievable. $1 million prize on the line. I can't believe Tyler Hansborough hasn't created a Carolina TBT team yet, and those guys go compete for the $1 million. But I was blown away. There was a line of Louisville fans outside. They were lining up to see Peyton Siva, to see Russ Smith, to see these guys compete for this. So that's the standard in terms of Louisville. You know what? These coaches that have come and created before this. And that's the hard part. And for the next coach that comes in, you know, bonding these alumni, getting everybody else back in, you know, with one of their own going out the door is something that they'll have to deal with. But these fans are starving. They are starving to win.
Yeah.
Starving. And I saw it. I mean, they were lined up outside the arena for the TBT. Lined up.
Yep. Yeah, and this is a program that I don't believe has been to a Sweet 16 since 2015. I believe that's right, with Rick Pitino. So, I mean, to your point, I mean, they are thirsty, and it's hard, right? I mean, it's a difficult thing to do from coach to coach, especially trying to replace Rick Pitino. And you know, they have the resources, they have the wherewithal there to do it, but you gotta find the right guy, and you know, we'll see sort of what that looks like as they embark on the search. It should be no shortage of candidates interested in this one, so I have no reason to think that it won't be. All right, we'll come back. We're gonna get into the conference previews here on After Dark. Big Ten, SEC, lots more to come. Stick around. You're watching Field of 68 After Dark.
What's going on, guys? Before we get back to the show, I need to let you all know about the Field of 68 Daily, an all-encompassing college basketball newsletter that arrives in your inbox, you guessed it, daily. For less than $1 a week, you'll wake up every morning to more than 1,500 words detailing everything that you need to know to stay up to date on the world of college basketball. From the notable mid-major upsets to the stars that are out injured, to the breakout performances that only our team of college basketball junkies watched. The Daily is edited and produced by Mike Miller, who spent more than two decades running NBC's digital written content. And it's subscribed by more than half of the Division I coaching staffs, the biggest names in college basketball media, and the agents that work as power brokers in the sport. For just $50 for the year, you get access to the same information that the insiders get. And before we get you back to your regularly scheduled Field of 68 content, let me tell you guys about the Field of 68 merch store. Head over to fieldof68.shop for officially branded Field of 68 apparel. Whether you're supporting your favorite team in the student section or from the couch, there is no better way to gear up than the latest from the Field of 68. The best thing I can say about our merch is the quality of the product. Anyone that has ever worn a t-shirt knows how frustrating it is when the neck gets all stretched out and the bottom of the shirt starts looking like the bottom of bell-bottom jeans. And there's nothing worse than a hoodie that loses its snugness that makes it such a perfect way to stay warm during the cold winter weather. Whether you're shopping for yourself or for the college basketball fan in your life, everything you need is at the fieldof68.shop.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back, Field of 68 After Dark. We're on Sirius XM. We are on YouTube, we're on X, we're on Facebook. We'll be with you for another 45 minutes. And in that time, we're going to preview as many conference tournaments as we can. We'll start with the Big Ten that's getting kicked off tomorrow with two slobber knockers. Rutgers, Maryland, Michigan, Penn State. And we're gonna follow a little bit of a formula here, fellas. And it'll sound
John,
like this.
John, but you gotta tune in, because I'm covering those games in studio for Peacock. So everybody needs to be dialed into those two. Okay, dial into those two games. Me, Josh Pastner, Jordan Cornette, Ahmed Fareed will be covering those two games. Come on, the rock fight of Rutgers, right. Maryland. Dial in the two worst offensive teams in the league. Let's go.
Love it. We have multiple Peacock panelists on the Field of 68 roster. That's big time. All right, let's start with the favorites. Let's start with the favorites. Matt, you'll get the first one. Purdue. Can anybody take down Purdue?
Can anyone take them down? No. Do I think that Illinois can push them? Yes. I really believe that. I think they're the only one in this league that can give them a run for their money. When Illinois is playing at a high clip and, Damask and Terrence Shannon – are clicking on all cylinders and making shots from the perimeter. I think they're the one team that can push them, but I don't see it. Now the bigger question is Purdue, do they show up? Do they stay focused? Are they locked in on this tournament like they were last year after they won the regular season and not focused on the first round of the NCAA tournament? I don't think there's any reason to think that they won't be because of their mentality all season long. So I think this is Purdue's tournament to win. Obviously, they're the number one seed. Does Michigan State knock off Minnesota, on March 14th? Give them a run in the quarterfinals? Possibly, but I just don't see it. I don't see anybody in this league beating them.
Tyler, you have been just vocal in your bubbly love for Illinois all season long. So, I mean, you must be warm and fuzzy about their chances this week when it comes to taking down Purdue, right?
Well, I don't think they're going to get to Purdue because I think Michigan State's going to beat them. I think Michigan State's going to beat Minnesota, and then I think they're going to go on and beat Purdue. They've only played Purdue once. They played Purdue at Purdue and lost by 6 points. I think Michigan State has a lot to prove. They don't have a lot of quad one wins. I think they're what, they're 3-8, and they have no quad one wins on the road. And I think Izzo's going to have his team prepared. I don't think this team's going to let Izzo miss his 25-year tournament streak. So I think Michigan State's going to come. I think they're going to make some noise in the Big Ten tournament. So that's kind of my sleeper. So I've got Purdue losing their first game, actually.
How about that? I mean, Tyler's got nothing but chaos in the Big Ten tournament, Matt McCall.
Crazy. I mean, even if Michigan State loses that game, they're still in. Even if they lose on the 14th, they're still in. There's no way Tom Izzo misses his 26th straight NCAA tournament. Michigan State's in. They're not even on the bubble.
Dave, can we get the bracket up again real quick? Because, Matt, I'm going to follow up, and I'm going to ask you, when you look at this, obviously we've talked about Purdue. We've talked about Illinois. When you look at sort of the rest of this field, who's the team there between seeds 4 and 10 that you think could, you know, maybe find their way in the title game and steal this thing?
I mean, you gotta throw Northwestern in the mix just because of what Boo Booey has done, and they seem to pick off, you know, almost everybody in this league. But I mean, Iowa has one of the best offenses in the entire conference. That's a dangerous team. If they can beat Ohio State in the first round, then they're going to square off against Illinois, who has another good offense. But, I mean, when you can score points and you can make shots – look, I was in the Barclays Center today for the Atlantic 10 tournament, and you could tell that first-round game, a lot of guys shooting, not a lot of threes going in, the teams that are making layups. But if you can get hot and start making some threes and the other team's not scoring – you can separate yourself. I mean, I think Iowa's a dangerous team just because of their offense. And I'm anxious to see this rock fight tomorrow between Rutgers and Maryland. I really am. Both teams have really struggled on the offensive end of the floor. Both teams are two of the better teams on the defensive end of the floor in the league. And I'm looking at, you know, Maryland and Jameer Young, who you could make a case for is the best guard in the league. They have Julian Reese in the front court. Those guys are outstanding. And can Maryland get past Rutgers tomorrow, who has another good front court in Cliff Orjiami, and they've got good players as well. And they've got one of the best recruiting classes in the country coming in. Two better defensive teams in the league facing off tomorrow. But Maryland, I just keep waiting on them to make a push here, because I think Jameer Young is that good. And I think Julian Reese can impact the game. But Iowa, for me, because of their offense, and you get a tournament setting like this, if you can get hot, and Tyler knows this, anything can happen.
Well, at least that's one person that's going to be looking forward to Maryland Rutgers tomorrow in the United States of America. We got one.
You're going to be tuned in. You're going to be locked in.
I am.
Because you're going to be –
Yeah, just for you and Pastor, not for the damn game itself. Hey, Tyler, you mentioned Michigan State, and I certainly understand when we get to this point in the season why there's a temptation to believe in them. But I mean, if we're just talking about what they've put on tape this season, like when you watch them, like what is it about them that gives you any kind of belief that they could pull off a run like that?
Well, before the season, they were a top five preseason team. Also, A.J. Hogard and Tyson Walker, they can fill it up and they can get it going. Like we just said, anybody can get hot and kind of light it up. And also, I do believe in Izzo, and I think he has the ability to coach teams in pressure situations and prepare a team for tournament games, which is an art, and not every coach has that ability. So based off of that record, I would conclude that that's why I feel confident. But also, they haven't met the expectations that were placed on them this year. I think it's been a disappointing year for them, and I think they have the ability to improve and kind of rewrite that story right now in the Big Ten tournament. Then, you know, anything can happen. So that's why I believe.
And then last one here on the Big Ten before we move to the Big East, fellas, Matt. You know, obviously Michigan State's metrics are it feels like, for, you know, these convoluted reasons beyond my comprehension, good enough to get them in regardless of what happens in this thing. But Iowa, it feels like, is definitely on that cut line. So who has the most to lose with a rough performance in the Big Ten tournament this week?
John, I'd like to go the other way. Who has the most to gain? Because I'm more
everybody. Everybody.
No. Like, no, but think about this. Like, Wisconsin is leaking oil. They are leaking oil. They have won 3 out of their last 11. Am I right about that? Like, they're leaking oil. They are like in Days of Thunder when, you know, Cole Trickle's guy goes up there before the Daytona 500 and the car is leaking oil and he's got to go race that car, and he's all upset as he's giving the talk to the car about, this is not the answer I'm looking for. Wisconsin's leaking oil. They've won 3 out of their last 11. And this is a team that not too long ago was ranked 6th in the country. So I think they have the most to gain. And every team that I've been a part of that had success in the NCAA tournament had success in the conference tournament. Built momentum. When I was at the University of Florida, if we had success in the conference tournament, we won games in the NCAA tournament. If we got knocked out early in the conference tournament, we didn't have success in the NCAA tournament. So I'm looking at Wisconsin right now, and I'm saying, look, not too long ago, you were the 6th ranked team in the country. Go into this tournament and build yourself some momentum. I'm not saying they're going to do it or not, but I think they have the most to gain, because at one point, they were ranked in the top 10. Who has the most to lose? I mean, you could say Iowa, but we weren't even considering them in the field a few weeks ago until on Peacock, I said that they should be in the field, and watch out, because they had quad one opportunities. Just giving myself a little plug there. But I think Wisconsin has the most to gain, and you could also say they have the most to lose, because if they don't build some momentum through this tournament, they're going to get knocked out in the first round.
Man, see, that's why I respect what you bring, because, you know, you look at Wisconsin's last month and a half and you say they're leaking oil. And I look at Wisconsin's last month and a half and I say that car is burst into flames on the side of the interstate. That thing is, we need the firefighters to respond. It was leaking oil in February. That thing is in full-blown, it's full-blown burning right now, man. That's and you know what? Again, that's you bring the optimist view. So I appreciate that.
And nobody appreciated the Days of Thunder reference. Nobody appreciated that. Nobody wanted that.
No, I think you had some in the chat. I think you had some in the chat. They're with you. Let's go to the Big East. Tyler Hansbrough, is it as easy as UConn's going to run roughshod through this thing?
I do think UConn's the best team in the Big East. Obviously, they proved that in the regular season. I would say, actually, my sleeper, I think Creighton's going to win the Big East tournament. That's who I'm picking. I think they're a more veteran team. I would like to see UConn and Creighton match up in the finals, because I think that would be a great showdown. And also, Creighton really hasn't been the team I thought they would be, even though they played well. I thought they could be a potential one seed team before the season started. I like Kalkbrenner. I like the addition of Steven Ashworth. Trey Alexander can get you a bucket whenever you need it. Baylor Shireman. All those guys, I like their offense, and also Kalkbrenner, what he can do defensively. I think they're a good, also more veteran team. So that's who I'm picking to win the tournament. Obviously, there's a lot of implications with some tournament, you know, bubble teams there, and a lot of teams can make their case. So it's going to be a good one.
Matt, how do you see the field playing out, brother?
I mean, I'm not picking against UConn. I can't do it. I just think, the mission that Coach Hurley has been on this year, even when Donovan Klingon was out, it didn't matter. That they have been so focused. They embody the things that he's about, toughness, winning. He's the perfect coach for that place. I mean, when you think of UConn, you think of really good guard play. You think of toughness. You think of a little win. It's just hard for me to pick against those guys. But I would love to be in Madison Square Garden on Thursday. I'm not going to lie. I would love to be in there when the Johnnies square off And I don't know where John Fanta is going to be in the arena, but I'm sure there's going to be a screen on him somewhere, because, you know, there's no way, you know, he's not in the NCAA tournament this year. Everyone was counting them out, and then all they've done was those rope off the wins that they've had come of recent. So, man, I'd like to see that. That's the most intriguing game to me on Thursday against Seton Hall.
Dave, can we flash that bracket one more time? Because I want to see the road here. Is Dagan's just getting it done tonight? I mean, I tell you what, Trevor and
he
Dagan
is getting
just,
it done. He is.
They bring their best stuff in March.
But can you imagine that game on March 14th on Thursday, Seton Hall, St. John's? I mean, that's going to be electric.
Yeah,
I think UConn wins this thing, but that game could be. I mean, that's the most intriguing game in the tournament. And then you get to the finals, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Creighton versus St. John's or Creighton versus UConn? Is it going to be, you know, UConn versus Marquette? I think it ends up being UConn versus Creighton and UConn wins it. But St. John's, Seton Hall, that could be the most exciting game of the tournament.
Tyler, does Ricky P have something up his sleeve? Does Mr. White Suit have something up his sleeve this week in the Big East tournament?
Yeah, he definitely does. I mean, there's a lot of hype. Anytime you put Patino out there, you know he's going to bring it. Also, he's been talking, you know, him and Hurley have a little smack talk going, so I like that. But also, I think there's one player that in particular in the Big East that I've really enjoyed watching that this year is Devin Carter from Providence. And I know Providence, if they go on a little bit of a Big East run, I kind of think that they could start making that push towards, you know, building a resume, especially if they reach the finals or something goes crazy. And also, you got to give them credit. I forgot when their best player went out with an injury early in the year, and what they've been able to do without him has been incredible. So I really like the Carter kid. He can really light it up and get hot, and he's been spectacular all year. So I'm going to be tuning in to Providence because they've been fun to watch, and I'd like to see them go on a little bit of a run.
Hey, Tyler, real quick follow-up here. Rick Pitino, as we all know, basically lit into his team on February the 19th. Talked about how they were slow laterally, how, you know, he just wasn't enjoying the experience whatsoever. And ever since then, St. John's hasn't lost a game, and that includes a double-digit victory over Creighton. They beat Georgetown, which obviously everybody's doing this year, but they beat Creighton. They roll Butler. They roll DePaul. They roll Georgetown again. I don't know. Have you ever been, and were you ever challenged like that? Maybe not publicly, but even privately, where, you know, you were sort of taken to task by a coach, and it lit a fire under your ass and kind of carried you the rest of the season.
No, I wouldn't say publicly by a coach. I did play for a tough coach in Jim O'Brien, who had a lot of history with Pitino, kind of came from the Pitino branch. But I will say, especially in my case, my athleticism has always been criticized or questioned from the media. So that kind of, you know, in a way, you know, kind of fueled me a little bit at times. But, yeah, I wasn't a fan of what Pitino or how he handled that, just because – you know, I think you should keep those things in the locker room. But obviously, he knows better, and he knows how to coach a team a heck of a lot better than I do. And obviously, it works. So sometimes those tricks up your sleeve can really fire a team up. But, you know, Patino's style and the way he puts pressure on teams, the way he traps, full court presses, that's going to wear teams down. And so obviously, his style and the way he coaches is going to have a huge impact.
And that's why I appreciate you, Coach McCall, because you would not go on the podium and say that, you know, your guys are slow laterally. You would say, my guys are deliberate laterally. You know, that's that they're
yeah, but like, you know, I don't know why Tyler's calling himself, like, talking about his athleticism. I heard the guy's like a savage out there on the pickleball court. I heard the guy's, I mean, unbelievable out there. I heard he's the best athlete out on the pickleball court.
Gotta be.
The rumor out there.
Well, that's a big difference between the athleticism on the pickleball court. I'm like that old banged up, you know, Buick on the side of the road with flames. So, yeah.
Is everybody like 60 years old out there?
Martin, no, I don't play with elders much anymore.
Pickleball. Yeah. If you're not going to play golf, John, you got to play pickleball. You have to play pickleball.
That's right.
Now that you're a dad, you got a choice. You're either going to play golf or you're going to play pickleball.
That's right. It's exploded, man. Everywhere I turn, they're building pickleball courts out here. It's the craze. It's the flavor of the month. There's no doubt about it. Hey, we have a lot more to go, a lot more to get to. We're going to talk about the SEC. We're going to handicap the SEC. We're going to talk about the Pac-12. Lots more to come here on Field of 68 After Dark right here on SiriusXM. On YouTube, on Facebook, on X, back after this.
The best month of the year is here, which is why you need to know that we are now partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 throughout the conference and NCAA tournament. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD150 and you'll get $150 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not that bet hits. Here's how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD150. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game, and you get $150 in free bets regardless of the outcome. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD150 when you sign up. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the conference tournaments and for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love the most, a nice little parlay boost, as well as a ridiculous array of prop bets for anything that you could possibly imagine betting on in March and in early April. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet. So go download the BetMGM app, use FIELD150 is the code, and sign up today. And while I've got you here, a quick request. The best way to support the Field of 68 content that you get here for absolutely free is to engage with it. Rate and review the podcast. Like and share YouTube videos. Tell your friends about us. It all helps in a world where the algorithm is king. And now, back to our show.
Welcome back, Field of 68 After Dark. We are on SiriusXM. We are on YouTube. We're on X. We're on Facebook here with you for about another half hour. I'm John Martin, joined tonight by Tyler Hansbrough and Matt McCall. We've talked about the Big Ten. We've talked about the Big East. We've mourned, unfortunately, a head coach losing his job, 12 wins in two seasons. We have a few more leagues to talk about today. Let's start with a league that you're quite familiar with, Mr. McCall, the SEC, where I'm told it just means more. Does that apply to basketball as well, or is it just a football slogan?
Darn right it's part of basketball. Are you kidding me?
Love it.
Look at this.
Love it. We need more SEC representation on this network.
John, look, like, and Dagan, leave this bracket up, because when you look at this bracket, no, I'm serious. When you look at it, Tennessee and Kentucky, won the two seed in the tournament, are two teams that could both make runs to the Final Four in Phoenix. South Carolina has Lamont Paris. It's the SEC coach of the year. They're the 5 seed. Florida's the 6, my alma mater, who, outside of a loss to Vanderbilt the other night, you're looking at Florida as one of the hotter teams in the SEC. Okay, and then you have Auburn and Alabama, and we've seen what Alabama can do from a scoring standpoint. They have some issues defensively, especially when they get beat off the guard spot, who's protecting the rim, everything like that. But you look at this league, and you're saying, okay, like, there's a number of teams that can make a run. And Tennessee, Dalton Connect, Zakai Ziegler, for me, and I know it's like tit for tat with them in Kentucky, and I love Kentucky, and I know this is hard for Tyler Hansbrough, and I'm taking my Gator goggles off here, Tyler, but the guard play for Kentucky – they can make a run all the way to Phoenix. They can make a run. Now, you look at the game that they won against Tennessee, they didn't have a single front court player score a field goal, and they went on the road and won. So, and I've been saying this for the last few weeks, who in the front court is going to step up for them? Who's going to give them something if they get into a grinded out game? Trey Mitchell's been out. He's been hurt. Onyoso hasn't been very consistent. Big Z has a lot of talent. He's in it. Bradshaw. Like, which one of these front court players is going to be the guy that they can go to when the game's on the line if they're not making shots from the perimeter? But the SEC is It's the second best league in the country, in my opinion.
Mm. What do you think about that, Tyler? Second best in the country.
Well, no, it wouldn't be my opinion. And there's a reason why their front court's been a little inconsistent. And that's because they're young. And that's what young teams and young freshmen do, is they're a little inconsistent. Am I sold on Tennessee? Not really. I think Dalton Kinect can get pretty hot. By that, their scoring's been a little bit inconsistent. I know Zakai Ziegler has come on a little bit late in the year, and he's playing really well. But to me, I know McCall's high on the SEC. I'm going to bring him back down, peaks and valleys. I think it's the most overrated league. I think Kentucky, they have the potential and the ceiling to get to a Final Four. Will they show up and play defense and consistently bring their defense? That's going to dictate whether they're going to make the Final Four or go on a deep tournament run. I've always said that because when it comes tournament time, those rims feel a little bit different. The pressure steps up. And also, I question Cal's coaching, and I know that's been a little bit of a hot take, but his record hasn't been great as of recently, and so I think there's a little bit of pressure on him to win in the tournament, especially when you have these talented kids. And I love Reed Shepard's game. He's been unbelievable. He's not a freshman, in my opinion. He's been a clutch guy, and he's one of those guys that, why I say they have a high ceiling. And also, let's not forget, I think Mississippi State could go on a run in the SEC tournament. They have a big Toulouse Smith who's unbelievable, can dominate. If they have guys that can hit it from the outside, they might upset Tennessee.
Interesting.
So hold on, John, I gotta respond.
Please respond.
What was yours?
And what we did to Tennessee in the Smith Center. Respond, like the one seed debate to me, we ended that in the head to head.
I want to know. I think the Big 12 is the best league in the country. Would you say the Big 12 is the best league in the country, top to bottom? Top to bottom. When you look at the teams,
you can make that argument. Yeah, that's a good argument.
Okay, who's the second?
I mean, you can make that argument for the Big East.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I was making sure my sea goggles off for a second. I was just curious. I was curious.
Okay.
If you look at the SEC.
Right. Would you have the SEC third, Tyler? Is that where you'd have them?
No, I think the way we've been hyping up the Mountain West, I think you might have to put them in there than the SEC.
I'm joking, guys. Thank you, Tyler. Perfect. Thank you. That's all we needed. Cut the show.
That's right. Mountain West, third best. I was like, Tyler, you're usually pretty straight-laced, man. You're throwing some curveballs at us in March. I like it. I like it a lot. All right, who's the real quick here before we get to the Pac-12? Who's the pick in the field? Matt, you go first.
For the SEC?
Yes.
I'm going Kentucky to win the tournament. The BBN travels. Nashville will be packed with all blue and white. I think this gives them some momentum going into the NCAA tournament. I'm going to take the Cats, which is very, very hard for me to do, but I'm going to take the Cats.
Tyler, what about you?
I'm going to go Kentucky, too. I think they have the highest ceiling. But if I were to pick a sleeper, Mississippi State.
Okay. Like it. I think this is the tournament I'm looking most forward to, honestly, because it feels like six different teams could win. And so I'm excited about that chaos. All right, and then let's touch on the Pac-12. This is a league that, I mean, we talk about overrated, top three, top four. This is a league that is just disgusting in my mind. But they're going to play it. It's the last one ever, so enjoy it. Matt, will we remember this one fondly? Will this be a Pac-12 tournament to remember?
John, it's so disappointing. It's just so disappointing that the league's getting ready to evaporate. It's getting ready to disintegrate. And it's just been very anticlimactic. Now, I'll say two teams, yep. The top two teams Arizona, Washington State, the job that Kyle Smith's doing at Washington State, I think is remarkable. It's just not been that exciting. When you get home late and you want to turn on the TV and see some great Pac-12 hoops, we haven't seen that this year. But Tommy Lloyd, Arizona, I think Carolina right now, I think it's between Carolina and Tennessee who gets that last number one seed. Based on what happened last weekend at Duke, I would give the nod to Carolina. And I'm not just saying that because Tyler's on here. I really believe that. But it's just been disappointing. But I think Arizona and the job that Kyle Smith's doing at Washington State this year is truly remarkable. So let's get some fireworks going in the Pac-12 tournament because it's getting ready to evaporate. They're getting ready to put a for sale sign on the Pac-12 office. And it's one of those commercial buildings that says, you know, call Kyle Smith and come rent our building out. Like, it's disappointing.
That's right. Our picks presented tonight by Vault. So are you taking Arizona, Matt? Is that who you're picking to win?
I'm taking Arizona.
Tyler, who do you like in this field in the Pac-12? Last one ever.
I don't like any of them, but I'm going to pick Arizona to win it. just because I think they have the most to lose. Like, if they were to lose a game because the conference is so weak, I think it'd really hurt them more than anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to be able to look at this bracket and pick somebody other than Arizona. But I will say Arizona has of the if you want to put them in the top tier teams, Arizona has by far the most random losses of any team in that tier. So I would not necessarily feel super confident in Arizona this week, but I would have to go with them. Again, picks tonight in these tournaments presented by our friends at Vaulted. All right, some tickets have been punched. We'll get into the ACC, the Big 12, and more on the other side. You're, of course, watching Field of 68 After Dark. We're on Sirius XM, Facebook, X, YouTube. Don Martin, Tyler Hansbrough, Matt McCall, back after this.
By now, you guys have surely heard about Autograph, an app founded by Tom Brady with the intention of disrupting the way that fans consume content covering their favorite teams. This is how the app works. All of the podcasters, bloggers, and digital creators covering a team have their content sent to that team's page in the Autograph app. Instead of having to bounce from site to site or trying to navigate the safer workspaces on Twitter, you can just scroll through Autograph. This isn't a hard sell. This is the truth. I am a UConn fan, and I use the Autograph app to keep up with the writers I read and the pods that I listen to about UConn basketball. The best part is that every piece of content that you consume gives you reward points. The more you get, the more chances you have at things like discounted tickets to games and the grand prize, a trip to the LA Regional and a spot in a suite for the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games. Here's the best part. We've partnered with Autograph to donate $1 to the V Foundation every time someone downloads the app using the code F68, with a minimum of $2,500 getting donated. The app is free. So download, use the code F68, help us raise a little bit of money for cancer research, and give Autograph a try. I promise you it will be worth it. And while we're here, a quick reminder, make sure that you subscribe to The Daily. We have new landing pages with deep dives into each coaching change, as well as a tracker that provides scouting reports on the transfers that have entered the portal that you are going to want to know about. Hit the link below to subscribe.
Welcome back, Field of 68 After Dark, Sirius XM, X, Facebook, YouTube. John Martin, Matt McCall, Tyler Hansbrough here with you tonight. Do want to get to some results that have posted in the West Coast Conference. St. Mary's Gales are undisputed champs, beating Gonzaga 69-60. Matt, the St. Mary's team put together a very good season. What kind of postseason do you think lies ahead for the Gales?
I mean, we know how they're going to defend, you know. So, I mean, they held Gonzaga tonight to 60 points. Gonzaga didn't play their best game, 2-for-11 from the three-point line. You know, St. Mary's goes 26-7. I mean, what kind of seed can we predict them in? Probably somewhere in between, I would say, 7-4, somewhere that range, depending on what happens. But they're going to guard. I mean, and defense travels, and Tyler knows that. I mean, it travels. So credit to them. I don't think Mark Few and the Zags missed the tournament this year. They won games that they needed to win. They made a run all the way to the finals. To think that Mark Few has never missed the NCAA tournament in his entire history as a head coach is absolutely remarkable. But St. Mary showed up, and that defense showed up tonight, and that was impressive.
How about you, Tyler? Do you think this the St. Mary's team can, you know, win a game or two?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think they're well coached. I think Randy Bennett does a good job. Also, they actually have a pretty good resume. Their net, you know, they're 17th in the net. They've won some good games. Obviously, they don't play in a tough conference, so there's not a lot of quad one opportunities. But watching them, I do think they play a disciplined style of basketball. And like McCall just said, defense wins games. And also, when you have discipline and defense and you're well coached, I think you set yourself up for a chance to win a couple games in the tournament. But actually, I like St. Mary's. And also, this game tonight was an absolute, I mean, it was a dogfight. I mean, these two teams went at it. I love the rivalry as well. It was a great game to watch.
Absolutely. All right, moving around. The Wagner Seahawks are going to the NCAA tournament. They get the win 54-47 over Merrimack. Donald Copeland caught up with Rob and Jeff after the game tonight. And this was their conversation earlier tonight.
And now let me welcome onto the field of the 68 straight from the bus on the ride home from Merrimack, where Wagner just punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament, head coach Donald Copeland. Donald, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, you got a little emotional there at the end of the game. What are you feeling right now in this moment? Can you put into words where you are right now mentally?
I forgot that I did get emotional, but I'm all over the place, honestly. You know, that was just a product of everything, you know, this team has been through, what this year has been. And then, you know, I coached in these games before as an assistant, just winning a championship. You know, I couldn't control myself. I didn't, until you said something, I didn't know if I celebrated or cried, but I obviously did cry. But no, I feel great, man. I'm proud of this group. I'm proud of the support staff, everybody, man, to pull this out. This was great.
I mean, to have to go and win three road games like this, and I should have been at this one. I live like 20 minutes away. I'm actually in Kansas City right now for the Big 12 tournament, and I'm pissed that I wasn't there. Instead, I had to watch shitty Big 12 first round games instead of being at that game. So
you watched some high level players, I bet.
There were some good players, but I'm telling you, I would have rather been there. What was this road like? I mean, again, you're the sixth seed. Nobody's expecting you to do anything. And to win these three games the way you want them, what has the ride been like?
Yo, you know, it's been great, but honestly, we've approached it like any other game, man. All season long, it's in conference play, we've had tough, close losses. You know, so really, these games that we kind of won have gone the other way in some moments during the season. So we kind of approached them just like any other way. We never talked about being on the road. We never talked about it. We just talked about the opponent and preparing, not just for the team, but for the last 3-4 minutes of the game, where we knew all the games would be close, and that we wanted to win those moments right there. So the fact that it was on a road, you know, it's obviously, it makes it harder because, you know, their crowd was great for them. But, you know, my guys are tough, man. We fought. And, you know, I'm not surprised by how this turned out.
I don't know if you remember this, Coach, but last year before the tournament, we did this series called Introducing Cinderella, where we went and got a coach from the league with all of the automatic bids to kind of give a scouting report on the teams that made it. We talked to about Fairleigh Dickinson. Yep. And do you remember what you told us in that? You said, I have a feeling that Fairleigh Dickinson can win a game in the NCAA tournament. And you know what they did?
Yeah.
They went out and they won a game.
Yeah.
So give me the scouting report on your team. Break it down. How are you guys going to go into this tournament and win a game, man?
We're going to try and do it the same way we've done it, man. You know, just heart and toughness and do it on the defensive end. That's where it starts for us. And play free and take care of the ball. My team does a good job. We do a good job taking care of the ball on the offensive end. But as long as we're defending, as long as we play tough, you know, we like our chances.
All right, give me the difference. We now could have three. I tweeted this. Three former Seton Hall point guards coaching in the NCAA tournament. Crazy. All right, give me the difference. You, Dan Hurley, and Sha, the difference in your personalities. Who are you closer to?
We're probably all a little messed up in the head, I think. I can't say the difference. I mean, we all preach the same things. Heart, toughness, you know, physicality, defense. You know, that's just in our DNA, our motto. That's the way we're going to do it. We're going to die by it. So I don't know if there's much difference that you're going to get from us three.
Listen, congrats, Donald. Let the emotions pour out, my man. That's what it's all about. That's what this whole week is about, right? The little guys getting a chance to celebrate. It's you. You're the little guy, man. I've known you, you've been the little guy who's had to grind, right?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have it any other way. Exactly. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Congrats, my man. Congrats, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Congrats, coach.
Good stuff there from Rob, Jeff, and Wagner coach Donald Copeland, who's headed to the NCAA tournament. All right. The College of Charleston Cougars are going back to the NCAA tournament. Hey, Matt, they pushed San Diego State as well, really, as anybody last year other than UConn. Can they make some noise in this year's field?
I mean, I think no question about it. I mean, what Pat Kelsey has done there is it's really remarkable. And we had him at the Field of 68 Classic early in the year, and we saw him play against FAU and Liberty. FAU won that game, but 27 wins, 15-3 in the league, averaging 80 points per game, won the league again. And look, Stony Brook, they pushed them. I mean, it was a close game. It came down to the wire, and these guys found a way to win the game. And that's Pat Kelsey he just finds a way to get to the NCAA tournament. So it's really remarkable.
Yes. Yes, indeed. He does. Oakland wins the Horizon League 83-76 over Milwaukee. So that is certainly a nice performance there in the Horizon League. And then South Dakota State wins the Summit League 76-68 over Denver. So that is, I believe we have covered for the most part everybody that has so far punched a ticket. Obviously, Big 12 tournament's underway. ACC tournament is underway, and by tomorrow, everybody's going to be getting this thing going. So it should be a great week. There you have it right there. St. Mary's, obviously, as we discussed. There you go. So that is the week thus far. All right, fellas, it is that time of the week, that time of the show where we do toast of the night. So, Matt, why don't you get us started? Who are we toasting tonight in the world of college basketball?
You know what? I'm going to toast Fran Dunphy from LaSalle. He won a game tonight over GW. He was picked dead last in the Atlantic 10. They got the 10 seed. They won a game, and they're advancing in the Atlantic 10 tournament. Fran Dunphy went back to his alma mater. He's one of the greatest human beings in college basketball. Here's to you, Coach Dump. Won a game at your alma mater tonight in the Atlantic 10 tournament. I'm going to toast to him.
Toast. Love it. I'm going to give a toast to Kevin Keats for not losing to Kenny Payne. There was a moment in that game where it looked like it was possible. So you avoided that, man. You avoided that. You didn't want to be number 13, Coach Keats, and he was not. So I'm going to give a toast to Kevin Keats. Tyler, who gets your award tonight? Who's getting the toast of the night?
Randy Bennett, St. Mary's head coach. I think he's done a good job winning their conference. So, toast.
We've talked about the obviously most of the conference tournaments here. Tyler, which one would you say you're looking most forward to? Is it the ACC? Is there another league that you think is a little bit more open? Which one are you most going to be tuned into this week?
The Big East. I think the Big East by far is the best conference tournament out there. The history, the smack talk, the energy in Madison Square Garden. it just doesn't get better than the Big East tournament. Honestly, outside of the Big East, I'm not a big fan of the power tournaments. I just think that there's too much emphasis placed on one weekend. And I love the mid-majors. I love the conference championship because it means so much more to them.
And Matt, I know you're going to be in the studio there with Peacock. Do you think that Rutgers Maryland is going to be a game that sort of redefines the way that we think about the sport?
Really, John? Yeah, I do. You know what? I do. I think we're going to redefine.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great, man.
It's going to be
watch it tomorrow. We're locked in. Hey, thanks for spending a little time with us on a Tuesday night here on Field of 68 After Dark. For Matt McCall, for Tyler Hansbrough, I'm John Martin. See you later this week.